Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up and welcome back to the Kinda Funny Games cast. Of course, I am Tim Geddes. Today, I'm joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Good day, Tim.
The Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Good day, Tim.
The Big Daddy himself, Greg Miller.
Ah!
Oh, my God.
I'm a wild card. I had a can of Coke and some Cheez-Its. Who knows what I'm going to do.
That got me good,
Okay, woke me up. Like Greg, I ended on you because I wanted to ask how you're feeling. This is one of the final times I'm going to talk to you before you head to New York.
Yeah.
For the Ghostbusters premiere. I know we talked about it a couple different times, but like, I don't think we really talked about how crazy this is.
Yeah.
You go to a real Ghostbusters movie premiere.
Yeah, well, I'm going to a Ghostbusters movie premiere. You say real Ghostbusters, people are like, I'm going to go to the animated Ghostbusters.
No,
I want to make sure they understand.
I don't think anybody.
A lot of people did, Andy. Look at the comments.
By the way, I turned the TVs off out here for some reason.
I have not had a second to actually process.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We, of course, are teamed up with The Mix for GDC. The showcase is Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, usually the Games Daily thing, 60 indies. And then Monday, we're doing the all-day live stream where we're bringing in like a dozen developers and showing their games, right? So I'm trying to get all of that lined up appropriately before I leave, which means taking an entire week of work and condensing it into 2 days.
Yeah.
So I don't think until Thursday, maybe, when I ride in the Ecto-1, it'll finally really be like, I can do, maybe on the plane tomorrow, I'll be able to clear my head a bit and be like, all right, I'm here, so that's what's happening, you know what I mean? But watch it, we did the marathon yesterday where I live streamed and live reacted to all three Ghostbuster movies leading into Frozen Empire, of course, available now, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. It's a fun time, you should go watch it. And like there, you know, like when I'm crying during Afterlife and stuff, it kind of sets in of like, all right, I'm ready, Frozen Empire is next, and there's I'm going to see a new Ghostbusters movie in theaters. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sitting there and I'm reflecting with Nick on the 84 thing about memories. I'm telling Mike about watching Ghostbusters 2 and the logo coming on, and I couldn't hide my smile from my mom. So it's like, and then, of course, bringing Ben to Ghostbusters Afterlife.
How old, Greg?
He was less than a month, maybe a month, I think, maybe.
I love that. You know what One I mean? Day, that's
that was be... a cool day.
Yeah. That was a great day. Yeah, it was the first time hanging out with most of you clowns.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, renting out a theater and doing it. So it's like, such a weird, obviously, Ghostbusters is such a touchstone in my life. But yeah, I haven't fully comprehended. And also, you know how I am about all these things where when I made the Hail Mary to go to the movie premiere, I was very much like, no pressure. If it happens, it didn't. And they're like, I think we can. We think we can. We think we can. So I was always like, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Then I got it. Great. And now it's the thing of, they were like, all right, you're invited. Here's your plus one. Great. We'll follow up next week, which would be this week, obviously, with information about the day. And I haven't gotten that yet. So now I'm just like, I'll be in the back. I'll just be chilling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what I'm getting into on the day. If I'm actually going to be like, if there's an after party, if I'm invited, blah, blah. I'm happy just to be there, obviously.
Totally.
So it's like, I'm still very much like, it's still very not real. I don't know when it will be real to me.
Gonna be great. Real Ghostbusters, everybody. But enough about that. This is the Kinda Funny Games cast. Reach every week. We get together to talk about video games and all the things that we love about them. If you like that, you can get the Kinda Funny membership. You can get it on YouTube or Patreon, and it gets you the show ad-free. You can watch live as we record it, and you get a daily exclusive show, Gregware, where he gets to talk about whatever he wants to, and something tells me he's gonna be talking a lot about Ghostbusters next week when
sure
he comes back. It's gonna be really exciting.
Can't wait to see it again, too.
Oh, yeah? And then we're gonna do in review, of course, for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Coming up very soon.
When is that?
Next week, baby.
Next week. We're watching it. We're just going to watch it like
Normies.
Thursday.
Cool.
Yeah. And then Godzilla.
What's your fucking excuse
now?
What do you got to do on Thursday? You streaming for 18 hours? What are you doing?
No, I'm excited to get some mozzarella sticks or something at the theater. Like, I want to, let's do this.
Let's do this right, everybody. How do you feel about that, Bless?
I feel pretty good.
Mott sticks. You in?
At the movie theater? Probably not at the movie theater, no. I'll get them at a side if I'm having, like, you know, chicken wings or something. But
I'm going to stop you right here if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. So are you insulting the quality of the mozzarella stick at the movie theater, or are you just saying it's not a movie theater food?
Both. I've never had mozzarella sticks at
Neither
a movie
have
theater.
I. Neither have
and
I.
And I don't want to have mozzarella
My thing about this is mozzarella theater. Sticks, and I'm saying something outrageous.
Holy so, shit.
Here we 90% go. Of the time aren't that good. They're great, but they're not that, you know, they're garbage food. There's fried cheese.
Yeah.
So I imagine the ones you're getting at Cheesecake Factory are going to be the same ones you're getting at the movie theater.
Yeah. I think the bar gets lower. I think, like, if your base for mozzarella sticks is like, okay, well, these aren't that great anyway, I think that they're going to be bad at the movie
theater. I just had such great mozzarella sticks.
It's like getting sushi at the gas station where it's like, you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
I'm also realizing right now that I'm wearing my fancy jacket. I'm not going to say why I am, but I'm realizing that all of us were dressed nice earlier.
We all changed.
And we're not. I didn't bring another jacket in a cold. So I'm not mad at it, but it is very funny to look at this right now.
Philippe Torres says fried pickles are better. Cool. And 1,000% agree. Come on now.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? Goodness. Some pluckers.
It's a crapshoot.
Also true.
Because crap might shoot out my ass if I eat mozzarella sticks.
Wow.
Like that one time.
Depending on how cheesy and real they are, the more processed and fake they are, usually kind of okay. But if they're like...
That 21st Amendment date I took you and Kevin on that one time.
Oh, man. Back at the studio with one shared restroom, me and Kevin just swapping spots nonstop. We almost co-op that toilet, I'll tell you what.
Oh, my God.
Riding like a double-decker bus in London.
Segue, but I can't. But what I can say is thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kieran, Hovasapien, and Delaney Twining. Thank you so very much for your support. But enough of all that. Greg mentioned this a little bit earlier, but some housekeeping for you. The Mix and Kind of Funny have teamed up for the Spring Game Showcase. 60 indies will strut their stuff Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, the usual Kind of Funny Games daily time. Come watch on our channels, the Mix channels, IGN, or GameSpot. Anywhere you want to watch, you could watch it there. I say you watch it with us, though. You know what I mean? That'd be great. And then we're going to do games daily after that, so it'll be fun. And then after that, Kind of Funny Games Showdown.
Finale.
Friday's the season finale of
Series
that. Season finale.
Series?
Season.
Maybe it's
finale.
A series.
But you've got to come, hang out, check it, see if you're going to have a good time. I guarantee you that you will, because I don't want to say anything too much, Greg.
Yeah.
But I did see the cut so far of what we have at the showcase. A lot of cool games.
Yeah.
A lot of really cool games there. So you're going to want to come through for that.
I already talked about Blessing's Guns, too. He looks really good in his part.
He does look good. And he has a great bit.
More. In fact, I'll take this off.
He played it off well. Oh, yeah. Go for it.
Pulls a fucking muscle, blows out his tricep like CM Punk.
Oh my lord. All right, we are 7 minutes into the show. Let's talk about what we're here to talk about, which is game of the year so far. It is March 12th as we are recording this. We are most of the way through Q1 of 2024. There's a couple weeks left, a couple game releases left in all of this, but just given some schedules and stuff, now felt like the right time to talk about this, maybe look a little bit ahead at the rest of Q1, Q2, what we're kind of seeing might pop into our game of the year list so far. But I asked each of you to bring your top three, top five lists currently. But I guess I want to start off with, do you even have those? Is there a list that you feel confident in? Don't say anything, just a yes or a no. Andy. Yeah?
Like an kind of. Okay. I can give you some games that I know will maybe not even make the top 10 by the end of the year based on whatever else is going to come out. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Greggy?
I'm confident in 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I don't think I have something where I'm like, oh, this is definitely it. This is when you're like, okay, at this point, what are your game of the year versus what it'll actually be in the conversation for game of the year? I think my 1 and 2 will definitely still be very high on my list come the end of the year. But if I was to add anything else there, I think that's the stuff that gets an honorable mention, slides in at 10.
Yeah.
You're right. You know what? I disagree. I take back whatever I just said. Can you edit that out in post? Thank you.
What do you want to say again?
You know what? A couple of games on my list, maybe in the top 10. Maybe contenders.
I have a top 5 list where if the year ended tomorrow, God forbid, you know, if the year ended, fucking meteor hits us. But if the year ended tomorrow.
If a meteor hits us, the least of my concerns is my top 10.
I care a lot about my top 5.
Even though that'd be awesome. Imagine if that happened. Hey, everybody, they come on. There's a meteor coming. We're all going to die. You know what I mean? And everybody panics, but we're like, we got to get our game of the year out.
Yeah.
Fly Janet and Paris in.
One more pod. But if the year ended tomorrow, I would actually feel pretty good about this top 5 that I have.
Yeah.
That said, when I look at my top 5, I think 3 of them are locks. The other 2 I have are like, One of them could make it. The other one, I don't expect to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole world is on fire, and commenters go, of course, Blessing will put a PlayStation game in his top three. Yep. Unbelievable.
Yeah, this is how he wants to be remembered.
Yeah, I have two locks that I am going to be shocked if they're not number one and two at the end of the year. But besides that, I feel like I struggle to come up with five. Like, I feel like I got a four that I'm happy with. But even those two, the last two, I need to play more and like see where it actually sits at the end of the day. But I'm excited to get into this. Andy, I want to start with you because you seem the least confident in the list and even how you feel about them overall. So talk to me.
I think it's more of a reflection of where I've been in 2024 as a video game player.
Mm.
And a lot of it has been taking a little, going to Costco and getting the little sampler. Samples. Let me just a little taste of this. Oh, you got shrimp over there. Oh, you got a little chicken tender here. And it's just been, I haven't really dove in, thank you.
No.
I haven't really experienced a game like all the way through in prior years where I would have had at least 2 to 3 big games beaten already. And this year has just been a lot of little samples here and there. I'd say probably the two locks, based on where I'm at right now, Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown.
Yes, my man.
I think is just one of the best designed video games in terms of, traversal and combat and all of those things lending and playing together to then get to the ultimate goal. It's just like so seamlessly done. It's so perfect. It's like a class could be taught on this shit of like how kind of just perfect it is in terms of game design. I'm not really vibing much with the story, but that's a game that I will need to get back to eventually beat because I know it just opens up more and more. But I'd say I'm like more than halfway done with that. And Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is probably the other one. I'm loving the game. Great. Thank you for the applause, by the way. Appreciate it.
Good picks.
Combat's amazing. It's just like, it just kind of continues to deliver. It's goofy in a lot of ways, and it makes me roll my eyes in some other ways. But it's still just so much fun, and I look forward to every encounter, and I look forward to the challenge and the strategy and kind of just how intense it starts to get when you're, on try number three and each try has taken like what feels like 30 minutes to do. I'm just having a lot of fun with it.
Where are you in it without too many details, like just area wise?
I'm almost caught up to where I was in my like original playthrough, which is like I'd say a little bit more than halfway ish. And the rest of the options are just going to be like random little indie titles that I played for several hours. Blessing recommended Go Mecha Ball to me. And Go Mecha Ball is like a little random thing that popped up on Game Pass one day, and I had no idea what it was. And it turns out, oh gosh, I just saw the developer tweeting about how a lot of game developers got kind of shafted by EA over the weekend.
Yeah.
Because
a lot of like 9 games.
Yeah, indie titles were just coming out, and then EA dropped like 10 or 12 big, a collection of games that just kind of like took over all of the slots where you would have normally seen what games are trending and things like that. And Go Mecha Ball was like, I released my game the day that I forget whatever news came out or whatever. And it was like not great for Go Mecha Ball. But
oh, yeah. I'm trying to remember because I do remember like getting off of a big KFP.
It was swamped.
Yeah. And then coming on being like, oh, this Go Mecha Ball game is out and started playing that.
I think it was the Xbox stuff.
It might have been the Xbox stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Phil Spencer
tweet. Yeah. It's a very, very cool indie game. I highly recommend it.
I bought it on your recommendation. I have it in my Steam Deck. I haven't been able to boot it up yet, but
it's total just awesome. Turn your brain off, arcadey fun. It reminds me of like old school games that you would play on your PC where your cousin had like some weird game collection. You're like, I don't know what these games are. This isn't Nintendo, but like these games kind of, it just kind of reminds me of like the olden days of just hopping into an arcade game and having fun. And, it's a really cool and neat roguelite. And I'm scrolling through the list here of other things. I think Helldivers 2 will likely be in my top 10 by the end of the year. I think not only just for the conversation, but I think it's such an achievement for Helldivers 2 to come out and be as good as it was because it seemed to be like it was going to be a lot of other just random PvE type shooter games that come out and come and go and we forget about them immediately. Sure. But for it to still be in the conversation and for me to still be looking forward to new updates, I haven't had that with a PvE shooter in quite some time. I think it's like just really, really shocking.
grabbing the baton from you, right? Yeah, Helldivers is far and away my game of the year. You know what I mean? Which is shocking for me to say. I think even coming off the preview we did of a PlayStation where it dropped us way far in. We're like, well, it's Helldivers, but whatever. Like, the fact that I've put so many hours into that game and I cannot wait to get back. You know what I mean? As we were going live here, where there was a tweet sent my way of like new stratagems they've added today, including a missile silo and stuff like this. Uh-huh. Like, they're still updating that game in the ways of, hey, here's something cool happening. Like, there's a new war bond dropping on Thursday of this week, which is super cool. And then, yeah, obviously there was the mechs getting leaked, in quotes. They weren't really, but, you know, peppered out there. Then us all going to battle to free them. Then being free for a while, now being locked away to stratagem. Like, again, they're doing live service in a very interesting way where it isn't the biggest things happening day to day, but it doesn't need to be. I'm excited to get back to the front. I want to get back to the war. I want to get back and, you know, level up so I can get that new stratagem. I have no idea for these ones that have just unlocked what, if any, their level, you know, locks are and things like that, let alone a new war bond and the new weapons on there and things like that. You're talking about being excited for these little patch note updates that are coming on, let alone what they're running for the giant world event. And then you think about what the big expansions will be, you know, the additions they will add throughout the year and hopefully more, like
new planets, new enemies, all that stuff is just super exciting.
I can't wait for more Helldivers, right? And it's that thing of like looking at the calendar next week and seeing Nick's got Helldivers question mark, Nick question mark. I'm like, I will move right now. PS I love you is in the way, but
I mean, I think we did that to get to make space for you not being on it.
That's exactly what I want.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't make the embargoes. There's a lot of embargoes coming next week we're worried about. So, you know, I'll worry about that. A
lot of embargoes.
Helldivers 2 is one that, like, I wish I had more time for because it allowed other games
stop
to
stop playing
away from
Tekken.
It. I'm not going to stop playing Tekken. But hearing people talk about it and seeing, like, the day to day conversation and the story of Helldivers 2 continue to shift along because they have somebody there that's working as sort of like the game master that's pulling the strings. And so to see somebody be like, yeah, mechs are, it seems like mechs are leaking or whatever, and then them finally put out the mechs, but you have to liberate a planet to then be able to use the mechs. Like, seeing that story develop day by day as an outsider is so cool, and that's sort of the thing that I want out of games as a service. I think that's where that type of game can super shine.
Right.
And for me, like, the big thing was like seeing, I think Greg tweeting Tien Quen liberated and me not knowing the context and being like, I think Greg was hacked. this is a very political tweet from Greg. This is very scary.
I think they're using social media in like the most genius way possible.
It's definitely that thing where, you know, like Kojima, when we were leading into Death Stranding, it was like, maybe you're already playing the game. And like Helldivers is that, I forget who it was, and I apologize from, I think it was one of you as a, who was it? Game of Clue on Games Daily talking to me of like, it's a different level of role-playing, Helldivers 2, right? Where it is the thing where you're in there and you're calling it out and we're all screaming for democracy and the stupid little things, right? But then you take that to Twitter and then you take it to, like, the TikTok partners that are having so much fun with, like, making TikToks about their partner's obsession with TikTok or with Helldivers and, like, Jen putting up the, like, 1920s, or I guess 1940s, you know, World War letter of like missing me from the front and all this. So much good. And I just sent it to Assets. Insert Coin this week announced a Helldivers collection of clothes.
Awesome.
And it looks fucking dope. You know what I mean? Like, and again, it's not outrageous, but like, again, for a fan, the hoodie, when you turn it, it has like the logo on the back, like the capes, like the most basic cape.
Oh, that's neat.
Flip in a second. There you go. See? So it's like, they're doing a lot of really cool shit here again that is like, man, I'm so happy for Arrowhead, for a game that I love so much, Helldivers 1, right? To go 9 years without it, to finally get here, have it be this huge success, and so far, have them do everything right, you know what I mean, in terms of encouraging a community and the community really rallying about it. I'm so fascinated to see the legs. I can't wait to see what they keep putting into this game. As I said to you, maybe infamously, we'll see yesterday, like, it is coming to Xbox at some point. I can't wait to see that. Like, let's go.
It's shocking that a game like this has, what you just mentioned, has the legs that it does. Like, we're so used to these coming out, and we play them for a week, if that, and then move on to the next thing. And it's just very wild that, you know, the sort of a momentum it still has.
And it's so impressive, too, it being console exclusive to PlayStation here, where it's like, that limits it even more. And we always talk about, for these type of games, like, you need as big of an audience as possible. And for them to have made it work, it really kind of takes lightning in a bottle and more than just one bottle. It's like there's so many different bottles that have to line up for this to be able to pull off what they've been able to do so far. And it feels like it's not going to end anytime soon.
Right now, right, currently on Helldivers 2, 304,000 people Damn. Playing.
That's
right?
nuts.
And it's remember, insane. their all-time peak is 458,000, almost 459,000.
That is fantastic. Right? That level of staying power so far.
Tuesday. And that's Steam only.
A Tuesday.
Exactly. Yeah, a random Tuesday. And I saw a tweet yesterday of someone who's been like, you got to love the confidence of just calling the planet Super Earth and like not explaining it. Yeah. that's just what it is. And I love it. I feel like that kind of sells the vibe of the game so much. Like that's so many great decisions design wise, lore wise, like the ethos of it all to the degree of watching the trailers when they first were showing it. It was kind of like, there's no way this works. Like, there's no way that this is going to, like, hit. I mean, maybe Greg likes it for a weekend, but, like, it's so much bigger than that. Like, shout out to Arrowhead.
It brings me back to, like, a conversation we had about Dune on the Kinda Funny podcast, where, like, one of the reasons I liked watching Dune over the weekend was that movie kind of just puts you in and doesn't really explain shit, and it is, from the get-go, you're just in that world and you're experiencing that world. I really like that for Helldivers 2 in the review conversation that we had on PSL. I think it was PSL Love You that I got to host before I even got a chance to play the game. I asked the question of like, all right, so how's the story? Is there a story? And like you guys were like, no, like the story doesn't really matter, all this stuff, right? And like it turns out that the story is just existing in Helldivers 2, right? Like from the get-go, they put you on Super Earth and it is like you looking online, seeing the propaganda, seeing like the online kind of narrative shifting forward via the game master and via like, you know, I'll liberate this planet to get the mechs. Like you are just in Helldivers 2. And I think that's a really cool way to tell that story.
Yeah, 100%. And then the little things they've thrown in to show that Super Earth's behind it all. And yeah, it's great.
Bless, is Helldivers 2 in your top five so far?
It is not. No.
Wow.
Well, I mean, that honestly just comes down to the fact that I've not had time to play it. Cause like Greg mentioned, I've been on Tekken 8, right? Like my top five, I do have it ordered. My number one is Tekken 8, like easily with a bullet. I am so into that game. I am like on ranked nonstop. I am on Discord hanging out with like my fighting game buddies nonstop. And like, we are, you know, leveling up together. It is me, it is Mitchell Saltzman, and it is Roddy Barrier. It's a bunch of people from like the games media fighting game community. But then also like we have, one of the dudes, his name is Ameka. He either works at IGN or used to work at IGN. I actually forgot now, but I met him when he at IGN one time, and he's a big Tekken dude. And he is like, I think we're all good at Tekken. He is on another level where like he is so high ranked where I'm like, are you like fucking like, are you about to be in the EVO's final? Like, you know, wow. You know, like the intricacies of this game in a way where, you know, like he is like kind of our Sherpa, right? Like he is kind of like the one that is, you know, sharing tips, like high level tips on, oh yeah, when this character does this, you're going to want to duck low, and then, you know, dual rising, you know, yada, yada. And like explaining certain ways to play the game that are way beyond my level, but I still find myself being able to take in that information because I think all of us together as a community are getting better and better and having that experience with people that I think all started off on sort of the same level, but we are seeing each other rise to the occasion and like, helping each other and like being in the Discord being like, hey, does anybody play Alyssa? Because I got to practice against Alyssa. And there's somebody like, oh yeah, I do. And having that sort of experience is super special alongside like, you know, just the game being solid. You know, one of the things that I love, but I think is also hilarious about the balancing of the game, because I think that's in the review conversation, that was one of the things that we talked about being like make or break of, you know, we were reviewing on this game on day one. So far, 5 out of 5, but what's really going to be the telling thing is once this game gets into people's hands, every week so far as Tekken 8 has been out, there's been a different character that people are saying is OP, right? And like, it doesn't come down to, oh, they're super nerfing this character, or they're super buffing this other character. Like, fucking King.
All I see on Twitter is about King.
Yeah, but that's just because he's a fucking grab character. But it changes every week just because people are learning every week, right? It's less about like, oh, this character really is strong, and it's more about, okay, we've learned how to fight against Victor. Now we all got to learn how to fight against this other character. And it just changes the shifts, and I think that is sort of indicative of a game that is balanced actually really well. Like, there's so many characters. Every character has something that feels like is too much, and I think that is good, right? When you have a, like, there are very few characters where it's like, I'm not picking this person. Most of the characters there have something that give you a leg up and that make you feel super powerful. And for me, I've fallen so in love with the character that I use, Victor, because, you know, I feel like the world is my canvas. I feel like there's still so much for me to learn as this character and get better with.
So that, I'm interested in that. So where do you think you're at with your Tekken 8 journey? How much further do you think it's going to go? Not just in time played, but in terms of like your how higher of a skill base are you going to be able to hit? And is this the deepest you've gotten into a fighting game?
Is this the deepest I've gotten to a fighting game? Probably on like the skill level side of it. Yeah, like I think I was like got pretty good at Strive, and I got like decently good at Street Fighter. But it's, I think Tekken 8 so far is the best I've gotten in terms of like the amount of time played. There are other fighters that I've put in a lot of time to, like back in the day, like Soul Calibur 2, I put in so much time, or Smash 64. This one though, I think down the line I could see being in my top tier of, oh yeah, this is one that I put in a lot of time into, and one that I've gotten high in terms of skill. That said, I have a ceiling. Like, I think the fact that I am somebody who is playing a bunch of different games throughout the year, like I am never gonna like go to Evo and make top 32 or top 64 or whatever. I do want to go to Evo this year and compete, just to say I did, but even then I don't expect to like win more than maybe one or two games. You know, I'm like,
he expects to win one or two games.
Oh, I do.
Everybody, let's fucking go. Yeah. I love that.
What's the DLC calendar looking like for them? Like, is do they have enough coming out in 2024 that's like, oh, I may fall into a bit of a lull when, you know, freaking Shadow of the Erdtree Tree comes out, but then I'll be back when this big drop happens in whatever month or whatever.
Yeah, like, so the first DLC character has been announced, and it's Eddie, which appeals to me because I'm a big Eddie person. And so that's going to keep me in for sure.
Those were my Tekken days. Yeah. They ended in the PS1.
The PS2 as far as they went.
I'm actually not sure exactly like what they've announced. I assume, like, my assumption is like every three or four months. That feels like the right sort of cadence. And so we're like in month two of Tekken being out. And I think Eddie's like not that far away. And so I think they're probably going to keep with that. Aside from characters, I think they're going to also drop like new clothing items and new customization items, because customization is a big thing in Tekken. And like, I'm looking forward to that stuff. But at some point, something's got to give. Like, when Elden Ring Erdtree comes out, I'm going to drop Tekken for that time, right? Or even when like Dragon's Dogma 2 is around the corner. Yeah. If I fall really into Dragon's Dogma 2, I'm fine to put down Tekken. Like, even with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, we had that. I put down Tekken for, you know, like a couple weeks. I played matches here or there, but it was very much a quick, all right, let me get my fix and then hop out and get back into FF7 Rebirth. But Tekken 8 is for sure going to be my in-between game between it all.
Do you, two questions here. Do you think that Tekken 8 ends the year as your game of the year?
Ooh, I think the great only question. Competition it has so far, well, I wrote down a handful of games. I think Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree is probably like its biggest competition based on how much I love Elden Ring, right? Like, I mean, I love Elden Ring more than I love Tekken 8, probably, if I had to say right now. And so I think Erdtree, I'll probably end up liking more than Tekken 8, and that'll be higher. But like, I think I'll be shocked, absolutely shocked, if Tekken 8 isn't in my top 5, if not top 3. And so when I go down the list, though, right, and again, I mentioned these are in order, like FF7 Rebirth is in there, like Andy mentioned. Like, that is a game that I adore it so much for the character writing, for the presentation, for the music, for the moments. Like, that's one that is going to stick with me. Balatro is another one. That's my number 3 right now.
I know I'll get into that. I just have not pulled the trigger on it yet.
Here's weird.
It is so good. It is one of those ones where I in the way that Tekken 8 is my in-between game, Balatro is also my in-between game right now, where I just want to, like, it's like the same thing every time, but the runs are so, like, the upgrades and leveling up systems are so smart in terms of the jokers that you can get to, like, modify your run and modify, like, the scores that you're getting, as well as, like, the cards you can add to your hand. Like, it's so addicting. I think that one does have a limit, though, in terms of, you know, I'm hooked on it right now. I don't know if I'll be hooked on it in a few months, just because I can start to see the walls of, okay, there are only so many types of cards that I can get, and there's only so many upgraded jokers or joker upgrades that I can add to my thing.
And
so,
how many different decks have you played with, Bless?
Not that many. I've played with, like,
there you go.
I've beaten the game with 4 different decks, and I'm trying to, like, get a 5th one so I can unlock the challenge mode. But even then, I think one thing with Balatro is that the different decks so far aren't the thing that's, like, bringing me in. Because, like, I'll look at one and I'm like, okay, well, why would I do this one when I can just do another one, right? Like, so to explain, the decks, so before a run, you can choose what deck you want, and they all have, like, these minor effects on how you play the game. And so, like, one of the decks will give you +1 hand, hands that you can play. Another one will give you, like,
these hands, you know?
Yeah, another one will get you, like, a +1 discard, or like a, you know, +1 hand size, but you make less interest, or like random shit like that. The more I unlock the hands, the more I'm like, The more I unlock the decks, I'm like, I don't like a lot of these decks. And so I don't know if that's gonna be the thing that drives me.
So it changes the play style essentially.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I'm kind of vibing with my
I know how I play.
I like my strength build. I don't want to go to a magic build sort of thing.
I think for me it's even the thing where I don't think they change them enough. Mm-mm. Like there's one where it's like, all right, +10 current or +10 coins at the start of your thing, and I'm like, oh, that's nothing. like this isn't really doing much for me. The jokers are really what will change up your playstyle, and I think unlocking more jokers could keep me going. That's the thing that keeps things fresh. But even then, it's like, I think there are only so many systems that you can play around with in Bellatro that'll have me feeling like I'm getting super fresh runs after I'm done with like my 30th run, which is a lot. Like, that's a lot of game time. But yeah. I do think that there's a limit there at some point. But I'm fucking loving it. Like, I'm in love with the game. My last couple of games are Persona 3 Reload, which I'm mid-playthrough right now. Picked it back up this week, and I'm still playing more and loving it. And then Penny's Big Breakaway, which is another game that I beat, and I really enjoy. But Penny's is the one where I don't foresee that being on my list at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. If it is, great, right? Like, if it's my number 9 or 10, that's going to be a fucking dope year. But I can see that slipping.
Penny's Big Breakaway and Tekken 8 are the two for me that I have as the bottom two of, like, they're there for now just because there hasn't been too much else that I've been really vibing with. But I'm not sure how much they're going to stick with me. Tekken 8, I still haven't put nearly as much time as I want to into it. I'm like halfway through the story mode now. And I just love the presentation of it. And I'm such a fan of fighting game story modes, and I really, really appreciated Mortal Kombat the last couple years, and even Injustice and all of that. But I really like Tekken 8. If Mortal Kombat is the MCU blockbuster type storyline, Tekken 8 is just straight up Final Fantasy VII Advent Children. Like, let's just go absolutely insane. Camera angles through the roof, like just in pure insanity and like over the top fun. And I love that the way that Tekken kind of just throws you into the world. They give you all the background videos for each game story to like catch you up if you haven't played, like I haven't for the last 5-7 whatever the hell intro installments in this. And button mashing makes it fun. Like, yeah, if you're good, you're good, but like you can still get through it and like have fun even if you don't really know what you're doing. And I feel like the story mode is kind of teaching me the basics in a way that I appreciate a lot more than Mortal Kombat. Like, Mortal Kombat feels like you got to kind of pay attention a little bit more to like how it plays, and it's not always fun to do that. Like, some of it feels a little more tutorial than I'd want it to, whereas Tekken, you just playing the game teaches you how to play the game. And on top of that, the reward is super awesome cutscenes, and sometimes cutscenes that even interrupt the gameplay. And I think that's the coolest thing, where it's like mid-match something will happen and I'm like, this is utterly fantastic. And like the type of fun that even if you don't love fighting games or don't know how to play them that well, it's still a great video game. And I always really appreciate that about genres like fighting or racing, where it's like you don't need to be the biggest fan, they're just fun sometimes, you know. And getting a real great experience with that. And yeah, Penny's Big Breakaway, love it. I'm maybe 3/4 through at this point. So much of it is so my jam. It does have a little bit more, I wish this was better, I wish that was better elements than I wanted, especially coming from that team. But I feel like at the end of the day, that's probably going to be maybe in my like 9 or 10 spot, depending on how the rest of the year goes. But my number 1 and 2 are very, very obvious. But I'm not going to talk about them yet because I need to give you a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays, an independent sunglasses brand that has over 300,000 five-star reviews. They are on a mission to match affordability with durability, making top quality shades accessible to everyone. They have tons of styles and colors to pick from, so finding the perfect polarized shades is a breeze. If you want an upgrade, we recommend their premium Color Rush lenses. Crafted with rare earth materials, these lenses bring high impact color to life, elevating reds, blues, and greens. Here at Kinda Funny, we all love wearing our Shady Rays, whether it is Tim looking dope doing his Pokemon Go walks, Snowmike Mike rocking the snow goggles, or Joey just looking fantastic in her tangle-free shades. If your shades go MIA or take a hit, don't sweat it. They've got lost and broken protection, so you're covered from day one. And if you don't love your shades, exchange them or return them for free within 30 days. Exclusively for y'all, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off each pair of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Again, that is ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off polarized sunglasses.
Shout out to Factor for sponsoring this episode. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Joey has been loving her Factor meals because every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. And Factor is flexible for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. A ton of us here at Kinda Funny have been so thankful for Factor since we've been in the new studio, and you can too. Head to factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 and use code kindoffunny50 to get 50% off. That's code kindoffunny50 at factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 to get 50% off.
Before you talk about them,
go for it.
Penny's big breakaway.
Yeah.
The one thing that sticks out to me in that game where I'm like, maybe it bugs me more than it bugs other people, but I can't stop being annoyed by it, is like the draw distance situation where things in the background are super fuzzy. Do you notice that? Like, is that a me thing?
I mean, it's definitely an art. What did you play it on?
I played it on PC.
Hmm, interesting.
On like widescreen. I think I played like the first level on PlayStation though, and I'm pretty sure it was on PlayStation as well.
Yeah,
the backgrounds are just super clean. Like,
yeah, the art style works for me, okay, with the exception of the character designs for Penny specifically and some other things like that. But I like the almost Mario Sunshine bonus level-esque design of just like these like floating areas with like background things. But yeah, it didn't bother me, but
of field thing going on, or
let me see if I can pull the game up, or like if I can find an image of it, because it looks weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
But also, maybe it's my settings. Maybe I need to go back in my computer and fix that shit.
No. You don't think the PC is just smart enough to figure it out? You don't think the PC can just figure it all out? What's supposed to happen? That's weird.
Your other two, Tim,
yeah,
are Final Fantasy VII Rebirth,
mm-hmm,
and Prince of Persia.
Of course.
And Prince of Persia recently just went on sale.
I know.
What?
That's so what I was going to start with.
Do yourself a fucking favor and enjoy one of the best Metroidvanias that I've experienced ever.
Yes. Mm. I mean, I've said this before and I can now stand by it entirely. It is my favorite Metroidvania. I do think it is, at the end of it, the best Metroidvania. Having said that, I still haven't made my way through Hollow Knight, and I understand that like once I do, that might change. But so far, the level of detail, care, fun, hype, everything I look for in a video game was delivered in Prince of Persia Lost Crown. Starting the game off, I was like, I think this might be like a 3 out of 5, and I'm a little let down. It feels aimless from a design perspective, and the story is from bad to non-existent somewhere in there. The further I got in, the more I was like, I was a fucking idiot. And like, there's just so much more game there than I expected. Like, anytime I thought, oh, I'm almost done, I wasn't even close to almost done. And it didn't drag on. It felt like every new area I got to, I was excited to explore. And it's the perfect level of frenetic combat plus exploration plus backtracking that never felt like, oh, I have to do this. And also never felt like, well, I'm just going to fast travel and all I'm doing is pulling up a menu and like hitting down an X and then it just loads quickly. It's like very smart ways to get from one place to another. And then my favorite thing about Prince of Persia Lost Crown is you don't get the double jump until way into the game. Hmm. And I feel like they took that as a challenge to be like, we've played these games before. The double jump is one of the first things you get. It allows you to get to places that you've seen on the map that you can't get to. This game almost takes that as like a, hey, we're not going to design the levels around that. We're designing around a whole bunch of other things that are really, really fun. And then when we do give you the double jump, it's going to be the most satisfying thing you've ever done in a game.
Yeah.
And the story elements that back all those moments up are just great. And the boss fights are inspired, fun, fair. Every ability you get adds momentum and locomotion abilities for traversal, but then also for combat. And that, I think, is where it just really shines. Like, being able to play this game like a Metroidvania Smash Brothers is kind of a dream for me.
It's so smart, dude.
And it's Prince of Persia, Metroidvanias, like all so many things that I love. And you add just like an anime aesthetic and flair to it all. And like, super awesome soundtrack that just mixes any type of genre and like the at a base level. So it's the same composer as the Ori games, which I didn't know until fairly recently, and I'm like, well, no shit, that's where the grandiose, massive, epic scale of it all comes from. But then there's like real authentic, specific like cultural motifs, and then on top of that, just like, well, this boss is gonna have a badass guitar solo because it's cool.
Yeah.
And those things never feel at odds with each other. And it kind of just comes together to be like, man, this is one of my favorite games ever. And I think it's my number one over Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Holy shit,
really?
Wow.
And this is hard for me to wrap my head around because to me, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is like one of my favorite experiences, period. Video games, movies, anything. I just loved my time with it. But really thinking about my top 10 game of the year, what that means, thinking back to 2020, I put Last of Us 2 over Final Fantasy VII Remake. And I stood by that because there was something about Last of Us 2. The whole package came together in a way that I'm like, this is flawless to me. Like, this is why I love video games, whatever. I feel that way about Prince of Persia Lost Crown. And that to me is like, damn, I put that up there with Last of Us 2. Such a different game for so many different reasons.
Yeah, but that's saying something.
Yeah, and I just feel like they set out to do something and they completely achieved it, and everybody should give this game a shot. And I think that there's so much more to it than there seems. Even if you just play a little bit like, and you get in, you're like, oh, I know what this game is. You know what the game is, but it's a lot more complex and a lot more polished than it seems at the beginning, I think.
That
and,
really excites me, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, every single time I hear you talk about this game, it makes me realize I need to get back to it. But yeah, like you talking about how much it has risen for you in terms of like, no, this is an all-time favorite, but then also, yeah, like a my number one for this year at the moment.
Where did you leave off, Plus?
Very early. Like, okay. I mean, it's to the thing Tim just said as far as like the game is more polished as you go than it even seems like in the beginning. In the beginning, I was like, oh, this doesn't feel that polished in like the movement and stuff. But hearing Tim and everybody else talk about it, I'm like, okay, well, I got to give it a bit more time.
And the look too. It's funny that like, I don't think I've ever played a game that looks okay in the beginning and then looks amazing by the end. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's just the abilities add more fun effects visually.
I think it's that production.
Yeah.
Whenever you want to pull off that special move, I've never really experienced, aside from like some moments in Metroid Dread, but like having the camera pull out from here's your normal side scrolling perspective. Let's zoom the fuck in on the main hero doing some awesome special move colors. They play with like art in a really cool way. And like blessing the way the combat opens up, like it just gets so creative with all the things you can do.
Yeah, Tim described it as a fighting game one of these other
times. Dude, it really is, man. Like just juggling dudes and hitting them with an arrow in midair, dashing up back there. You leave, it's kind of like a power, but it's, you know, you leave like a clone version of yourself and you can go zip back up to that like hologram. It's just so sick, man. It just feels great in a lot of different ways. And yeah, I think it's just one of the smartest design games ever.
It is a AAA 2D Metroidvania, and that just shouldn't exist, but it does here. And like Metroid Dread is the only other example that I'd put up there. I guess the Ori games as well. But even then, they're AAA in a different way. You know, like I feel like they really triple down on the aesthetics and like emotional storytelling vibe. And oh my God, they nail that. But I feel like Prince of Persia triples down on the just sheer badass factor. And like, what makes a video game a video game?
Yeah.
It's Prince of Persia. Like, they got it here, man.
The next thing, it's a new ability that's a bow and arrow. And you're like, oh, and it's not just for combat. It also, you hit those things with it. And that, everything plays together so perfectly. It's amazing.
And the combat challenge rooms and stuff, or like even the puzzle challenge, all the challenge rooms, they're just platinuming this game is a delight.
Yeah.
And that to me is always like the sign of like, oh, this is one of my favorite games ever when I want to 100%.
Did you platinum it? I can't remember.
Well, fuck you, Greg. I hate you so
is
much.
Is it something about that you weren't loyal to a platform so it fucked you over?
Did you hear about this, Andy?
No.
Maybe all traitors should be relieved of their head.
Whoa.
What is
so...
I'm
saying cut off their heads, Andy.
So I was talking a big game, a lot of shit talk about pro talk about how impressed I was with Ubisoft Connect and how it's like, dude, I'm playing on my Switch, I'm playing on my PlayStation, it's fucking awesome.
Oh, wait,
I get to do
works? Like you can do cross save.
Yeah.
Oh, it's over.
Yeah, well,
it's
careful over with your trophies.
Oh,
he hides them.
I got it all. It was all great. 100% of the game. time in my life didn't pop. And I was like, that's weird. And I go back and look at my trophy list. I'm like, I definitely did that. Definitely did that. Oh, what's going on here? Did those things on Switch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
must be the fate of all tyrants.
So yeah, that's a whole thing.
You bringing up Ori makes me want to also bring up No Rest for the Wicked, which is from Moon Studios. They did like an
early
alpha.
Access, right?
They did an early access demo thing for influencers and for some people in media, and it's hitting early access next month. I feel like this year I've just poured in a lot of hours into different early access type games. I'd say probably the weakest.
What do you call you EA?
Huh?
That's what you call it, the biggest fan of EA.
Yeah, I love EA, man. I would say that Nightingale is probably the weakest one. Enshrouded, I'm looking very forward to seeing how that game looks in December. But No Rest for the Wicked by far is like just the most impressive that you could play right now whenever that early access period actually begins. It's in April sometime. It is just a stunning in art direction. The combat feels incredible, and there's also going to be some sort of crafting element to it, which you can then like go back to a little, I don't know, a town and kind of start rebuilding it. That wasn't part of the demo. They really only allowed you to do sort of the combat intro in the video game, but holy shit, man, this game just like blew me away in a myriad of different ways, and the art style reminds me so much of watching Arcane on Netflix, the League of Legends animated show, which was fantastic. And yeah, man, the art direction's insane. The bosses, the enemies. It's very Souls-like in its combat, except you don't drop any souls that you then need to go get. It's just like more of like, oh, do I want to pick a dex build? Do I want to be a magic spell slinger? Or do I want to have the big, heavy, two-handed weapon? But dodging, doing the backstabs, doing the parries, it is like the total fucking package. And I was already looking forward to it when we first saw it at the Game Awards, or was it a State of Play or something? But actually getting my hands on it was like, holy shit, that rises to the very top of most anticipated this year.
All right, you're making me want to give this one a shot.
This
like,
is incredible.
It looks great, but gameplay-wise, it's not necessarily my thing. And like, especially from this team, I was like, I want something different. But yeah, you're selling me on it for sure.
I do have an update on Penny's Big Breakaway.
Hit me.
I'm watching gameplay videos. It looks way better in the gameplay videos. So I don't know what's up with my PC settings, but I got to fix something.
Yeah, well, you were playing in ultra. They only gave you like an ultra wide option. Like he did full screen.
Oh, yeah. I was playing full screen ultra wide.
But it like still stretched it for some reason. It wouldn't let him not stretch it. Maybe
that
was
like an early... I fixed that. Yeah. I found like the correct setting for that. But,
yeah. I mean, the game doesn't run great. Period. Okay. But like visual, like I didn't have any problems with how it looked necessarily.
Yeah, I just like the draw, anything that was like outside of the draw distance just got super fuzzy for me. And I'm like, oh, that's a weird artistic decision that you made.
Greg, anything else you want to talk
about? Yeah, my second, of course, is WWE. 2K24, just obviously very much a Greg game.
I want to stop you there real quick, just because I haven't said this on a show. I have not touched 2K24 until last Friday when we did the stream. We all just kind of played.
That shit was fun.
So much fun.
Hey, who won that stream, by the way?
That was you, Big Doug. You're all about it, man. I mean, I was like not rooting for you for a little bit there, but you won.
I've never been so mad in my life. I was fighting 3v1. Like nobody was on my it was what Nick and Greg immediately were like,
assholes. Come on, we're back, baby.
Look at Roger. I'm like, Roger, they're working together. Are we gonna work together? And Roger's like, fuck that. I'm like, okay, well, like, what's going on? And then like first of all, it's Money in the Bank, which sucks. I hate Money in the Bank. And then what, you're grabbing the money that's in the bank, and like
I've been
doing that, fucking Roger and Nick are just laid down surrounding me,
boxing me out,
and I have no way to like try to get Greg down from the ladder. It sucked.
You can't step over.
Tell you what, if you
game can
beat Roger in a 2 out of 3 falls match, I'll put my title online against you.
All right, let's do
whoa.
It. Put it on the schedule.
Whoa.
But bless.
Yeah.
How much fun did we have when it was me, you, Mike and Raj, right?
Oh yeah.
And we sat down, picked up the sticks, and it was just like we were kids again at a sleepover type vibes. It really was just like yeah, we rented this game and let's try it out. None of us know how to play. That doesn't matter. There's a beauty to wrestling games that I have not experienced since SmackDown versus Raw, like the first one. Like it was so much fun, and I can't wait to get back to it. I've been trying to, been having some issues with my portal. We'll talk about that.
It was a good time.
More. But yeah, great time. But back to you, Greg.
No, I mean, I've talked at length about it, right? There's a review up and all that stuff, and I've done a couple different streams and yada, yada, yada. I just think 2K24 is the bee's knees, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I put up a tweet about it last night. Last night was the first night where I had to work so late that I didn't get to play. And it was like, it got to me. I'm like, oh, fuck. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still turned it on to get my daily My Faction reward for my login bonus. I got that. But it's like, it was the first time I haven't been able to sit down and put actual hours into it, because that's what I've been doing every night before bed. And it's just like, you know, again, it's such a deep bench of game modes where I do sit down and it's like, all right, well, today I do want to do my faction, but I just want to focus on this. So I'm just doing faction wars. Or no, I'm going to actually, I started my own GM without Roger. Okay, no, I want to get back to the storyline. I actually want to finish my Gruesome Greggy storyline to create a female wrestler so she can go off and do the next, you know, like, there's like, so much still to do, let alone trophy chase, let alone just go online and duke it out.
After the stream, when I got home, I played the roguelike mode that they added to it, because Roger was telling me about
it. That's Faction
Wars, yeah. Yeah, Faction Wars was pretty cool. The one thing is that I got kind of deep into my run, and I was doing a tag match, and they've added this new mechanic to tag matches that I like, where, you know how like when somebody pins, their tag team partner will come in to break up the pin. That's always kind of been a plague on the video games.
Sucks. It always sucks.
Because it happens and it's like, cool, these matches are just never ending, because then you have to hit the person off the rope. They've added a thing where now you can't invade more than once during like one tag. And so now it is a thing where I'm like, okay, I'm going to pin them. They're going to break it up, and I'm going to pin them again. Like,
first thing, I mean, you only once per match, right? So the first thing I always do, especially in six mans, right, is just like, as soon as I get the guy down the first time, pin him, trigger it for that guy, pin him, trigger it. If he makes the tag, immediately pin that guy to trigger it for the one guy who hasn't done it yet. Like, yep. I'm on top of the game so that when I hit my finishers, my signatures,
which I love as an addition. Yeah. The thing is, like, again, deep into my roguelite run, I'm doing a two-person tag. It's you need like two falls in order to win. And my game bugged out to where I step out of the ring and the referee starts counting for me. And I try to get back into the ring. I can't get back into the ring.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, what the fuck? And so I'm like, I'm literally like standing on the side of the ring, pressing every back button, because I'm like, I'm pretty sure you just need to move up, but it doesn't let me. So I'm pressing RB, I'm pressing everything. It's not letting me do it. He counts to 10. That's one fall. And I'm like, fuck.
Your stack falls gonna be outside?
Yeah. And then I'm realizing that, like, for whatever reason, the game bugged out to where it thinks that I am the tag partner and it doesn't want to let me in, even though I'm the main person.
Oh.
So I like that he counts to 10 again. And I'm, the whole time I'm like, no, please. Like, I'm so deep in
there
this
must
run.
Be a way.
Yeah. Like, this can't be happening. Bless, like, I really bless. Don't. Yeah. Like, I was. It felt like what a meme of me, like, just being outside the jail cell, being like, no, please, please, please. And I couldn't get it in, and that ended my run, and it bummed me out, but it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it enough to bring you back? I guess it was unexpected that a roguelike would be what would grab you for the wrestling game.
Yeah. I mean, well, I really like roguelikes. And so even Roger just mentioning that I had one was enough to get me in. I don't think I'm going to play the roguelike mode again.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a great idea. I think it needs a bit of polishing and a bit of, like, better carrot on the stick, right? Like, I need the better things to pull me through and really make me feel like I'm choosing things. I do like that there are certain points in the run where you do, like, kind of a boss match.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one I did was, it was, like, my faction versus the, what do they call it, the table? The head of the brotherhood?
The bloodline. The bloodline.
The
head of the household.
My full house.
And so I beat them, and then I got Roman Reigns. And so now it's, like, my faction turns into, like, Roman Reigns. I had Cody Rhodes, but I had, like, the toy version of Cody Rhodes. I had Dusty. And then, like, I think, what, my fourth person was...
Cena?
No, I
wouldn't redeem
that. I've not gotten Cena yet. Do I have him?
It's a locker code.
Can you send that to me?
Sure. Yeah.
No, I had, like, Rey Mysterio.
Gotcha.
So it was those four. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I like all these wrestlers. And
right.
So I liked the idea of, the further I get, I can kind of create my ideal team and then go from there.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, you know, one of the things that's cool about it, right, is that you have your My Faction, those four cards that you're playing with, and those four cards are the four characters, right? When you start the roguelike, as you go through, first off, can get armor buffs to put armor over your health bar to keep your wrestlers healthier longer, because you carry over your health and damage, limb damage, as well as your health bar, match to match, right? So there's a bunch of different things. There's one where you get to where it's all right, cool, you're gonna get a bonus, but you're also gonna get a random wrestler who's gonna have, you know, I think it's 10%, or maybe it's 5, 10, and 25% damage done to one of their limbs or whatever. And then there's the limb recovery ones and all these different things, and there's credits to buy things outside of it. So you're, of course, building out your deck in My Faction in general, but the point here is, when you beat the faction boss, which is a team, their faction, you get to then go pick one of them, if you want to add to your faction on that run. Now, what it does outside of that in the world of My Faction is unlocks that card for purchase. So the credits you've been earning in not my faction overall, but in Faction Wars, you can then go and spend. Like I did a very similar thing at one point and had The Rock pop up. I beat The Rock and then I came back and I bought The Rock, so I can use him now in my faction. Everything else.
No, awesome,
awesome indeed.
Very Do you awesome. Have any other games, Greg?
No, those are the two that have stood out for me. You know what I mean? And like have really fucked up, I think, a lot of things in terms of. You know, oh, we have Rise of the Ronin. But Andy and Bless keep saying it's like fine. And I'd rather play Helldivers tonight. I'd rather play WWE tonight, right, with my free time versus what I can play at work. And same thing with so those two games and that popularity and the desire to still play those, right? I know that nothing alters my opinion of a game when I'm playing it and I don't want to play it. So like Final Fantasy, I still haven't touched. Like I have it there, but I just don't have the urge to play it. And I don't want to force that because if I force it, I'm never going to like it for sure.
Yeah. Do you think you'll ever play Final Fantasy VII?
I don't know. It's weird because I liked Final Fantasy VII so much. And hearing you guys talk about Final Fantasy Rebirth, right? I'm like, yeah. But it's like I look at it and I'm just like, for some reason, nothing's making me go, oh, I got to play that.
You guys being as far as you are, I mean, you beating it and you being as far as you are. Like, do you think Greg... Like,
I think so. I think Greg should hop into it. I think Greg would enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think
I liked the first one, right? It was the first Final Fantasy I ever rolled credits on. I enjoyed it. But I think the fact that it ended so discombobulated in terms of like... what had been a quote-unquote simple story to all of a sudden there's ghosts and this and the timeline's fucked up and I'm just like, I don't understand these references.
It does snap back immediately back into being, oh, this is easy to follow again.
More direct, okay.
Yeah, more direct.
But I do think it also immediately presents questions that are really kind of cool to, like, it hits you with some, like, what actually happened sort of shit right at the start of it. And you're okay. Like, ooh, whoa, this is kind of neat and I wasn't expecting to even... have these sort of questions. I just thought I would have been lost for reasons of me not playing the original or whatever, but this is actually really sick. I think you'll enjoy it.
And it's like a checklist open world game in a way that I think you vibe with.
Okay.
And so I could see you being into that.
Okay. I still have it. I haven't deleted it. I have the best intentions of getting to it. Yeah. But I gotta fight for democracy.
I totally get it. Do you guys have, is there anything looming in the first half of 2024 that you think might enter this conversation?
I hope Dragon's Dogma 2 is as good as what the previews are saying.
Yeah.
Because the previews are making that sound like it's about to be game of the year. And like that's a game that when I previewed it, I was like, okay, I'm enjoying this, but this is not, it didn't strike me as something that needed to be on my radar necessarily. Like I think I mentioned that it plays a bit like it's from the PS3 era.
Yeah, you did say that.
Dragon's Dogma, the original, is from the PS3 era. So like, you know, I came out of the preview being like, all right, I got my eye on this, but you know, it is what it is. Now seeing people who have gotten to play a lot more, what they're saying about it and like sort of the depth of it and like how you can like really get into the nitty gritty of your class and all this stuff, that has me super excited. Like people seem very jazzed about it.
It's definitely Dragon's Dogma. It's No Rest for the Wicked. It's I know Hyper Light Breaker was like, hey, we're probably going to be delayed until mid whatever 2024. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the recent update there is, but I got to assume sometime maybe mid-year or like fall or winter. I know that's not like the first half, but that's still one that I'm just like super jazzed about. And we're gonna get to play to GDC, which I'm very, very excited about finally. Aside from that, that's kind of it for me. Like I know that I will likely be going back to having to beat Prince of Persia. Unfortunately, I'm still in a very hardcore Valorant phase that I didn't expect to be in this year. It just kind of hit at a random moment. So that's been like Tekken for Blessing, where with Valorant for me, it's like, oh, I have a spare hour. Let me just, play a match real quick. At the end of the night, it's like, if I haven't played that day, I feel like, ah, shit, I didn't get a match in today. Other than that, I'd say that those are the ones that I'm looking forward to in the immediate future.
I would say one that I wanted to call out because it comes out a little over a month is another Crab's Treasure, which I know we're all going to probably at least play a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I do have like a short list of like games that are coming up in the next, like in the Q2, essentially, up until June. And it is Dragon's Dogma 2, Pepper Grinder, Aiden Chronicle 100 Hero. I think that one might be a little surprise.
It looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks really cool. It's like a Suikoden successor type game. And the more we see it, the more I'm like, this looks like it could be really fun and really special. Tales of Kinzera, Zao, I'm sure it might hit, hopefully, like a Prince of Persia.
I hope that fucking crushes.
The demo was fantastic, and I really, really liked it. And I was playing it right after I played Prince of Persia, and it was holding up. So that's a good sign.
And then there's Stellar Blade, Hellblade 2, Paper Mario, and then Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree. Like, already the next three and a half months? Yeah, the next 3.5 months are still looking like they're filled with games that, for me, are ones worth paying attention to. And so, yeah, this might be another banger year.
But more importantly, 3 weeks or, you know, 2.5 weeks before Shadow of the Erdtree, June 4th, Destiny 2 final DLC. Greg, is it our time?
The final shape.
Get your Ghostbusters ready.
I was going to say, it's not time. Ghostbusters content is here next week. I will be back in Destiny.
But
if, did you see, I can make the ship look like the Ecto-1. Are you fucking kidding me right now?
It's a good prep time because that's what happened with me last year. It was like getting ready for, I'm already blanking on what that Lightfall was, what the DLC was. But it was like, oh, Lightfall's coming out in a month. Let's start playing Destiny again. And I did. And it was like, holy shit, I really played Destiny 2. And I'm hoping that I can pry myself away from Valorant in preparation for Destiny 2 Final Shape, but I'm ready to go back in, dog. You let me know when.
So I'm Chris fucking ready.
Chris Anka, the Weapons Arbiter, will run us through everything.
I don't like
him. He's the homie. No.
No, I love Chris.
You love Chris.
Paper Mario is the big one for me. I mean, Hellblade 2 as well. But Paper Mario, I keep saying this. I'm just so excited for you guys to even be able to give this one a shot because, like, this is the one. And the remake just looks so dang good, man. Like, the level of care they're putting into it and, like, seeing what happened with Metroid Prime last year where they took a GameCube game that was perfect and then just made it better. I'm like, just do that for Paper Mario Thousand Year Door and we are going to be in such a good spot. And Andy, I just feel like this one, I was trying to get you on Mario RPG last year. This one though, I feel like there's something about the cutesy, like the comedy elements to it that I think are just, it's very up your alley.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I mean, I've always loved the vibe of Paper Mario games for sure. One last one that I want to call out is a game that I played during Steam Next Fest, and apparently, unfortunately, is coming out 3 days before Shadow of the Erdtree. So get your gaming in immediately if you can. If you can look this up, Barrett, it's hashtag Blood, BLUD. It's a game that I showed to many of you all, and it just straight up looks like a Cartoon Network game, and it's a Zelda like top down like Link to the Past style game. Just blown away by the production values, by the animation in there. It's a very similar story to Kena Bridge of Spirits, where they are like an animation studio that were like, hey, what if we kind of made a game? And that's very similar here. This is a 2D kind of like animation studio with a lot of animators and motion graphics people. Ooh, and
unbelievable.
Kind of came together to make this video game. And it just looks insane. Like, every scene of it doesn't look playable, but it all is. And every one of these animations looks incredible. It's a story. You're a little girl who ends up finding out that your mom used to, like, fight vampires. And
awesome.
You have this sort of, like, inner power within you that you also need to be a vampire kind of, like, hunter or whatever. But you're fighting all sorts of different monsters in the world. And, yeah, it's just really, really neat. It's hilarious. It has its own version of Twitter, and everybody's kind of talking, you know, everybody's putting up random things, and there's a girl who's, like, into ASMR, and she tweeted out, pss, 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 like, just ASMR sounds. It's just great. Like, it's got such a great sense of humor and a great vibe to it, but, yeah, art style and just the combat alone is very, very adorable.
Some of these characters seem pulled right out of Cartoon Network.
100%.
In a way where I'm like, hopefully Cartoon Network is chill. Because, you know? If this was like a Pokemon art style, I feel like Nintendo would be getting out their chair.
Yeah, we'd see like one of the characters. I'm like, oh, that's like, what's his face? Like the evil scientist from Dexter's Lab.
It's very much Dexter's Lab, Powerpuff Girls. But
one of the kids looked like, what's the name of the black kid from Billy and Mandy? There's one of the characters looked exactly like that character.
Mandark. Thank you for Mandark call out the other guy.
Mandark.
Yeah.
But hold on. This is coming out June 18th? It's not Early Access or something?
No, it's coming out June 18th.
Jesus Christ, that doesn't seem real.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. That looks incredible.
It was shown off in one of the other sort of like summer showcases during the summer. It may have been IGN's sort of thing where they show off a sort of suite of different games.
Yeah, it was Fan Fest for IGN.
Yeah, and like I didn't even know that that's when they had first showed it. I just saw it during Steam Next Fest sort of, you know, here's a list of different games that everybody should try out or whatever. And I saw that. It was a lot of people who watched a SkillUp video that were like, oh, Andy, SkillUp talked about this one game. You should try out this game. And it was very, very impressive. Super cool looking.
Erwin is the character I was thinking of.
Erwin.
Shout out, Erwin.
Shout out to Erwin, everybody. Mandark. Let us know in the comments below who your favorite Cartoon Network character is and what your game of the year so far is. And if there is a game coming up in Q2 that you think might take that top spot. Until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.